Good morning.
Well, today is an unusual day where both my jobs kind of intersect. As probably most of you know, I'm a family support partner at Touchstone Behavioral Health, as well as part-time here. And my job, I'm not trained as a counselor. A lot of people think I'm a counselor. I'm not a counselor. My degree was in business administration and then in divinity and then practical ministry. So I'm not trained. I've had counseling classes and psychology classes in both business school as well as in the seminary, but I'm not trained as a counselor. The only reason I have that job, and my daughter reminds me of that, is because of the things we went through with my daughter. We have to have life experience as a family support partner. It's not theoretical knowledge. It's experience and difficulties and going through the system, working the system, working with the system. And so we work with the parents of troubled kids to try to help them out, to get them resources and so forth. But it's amazing how God has led me. I never would have thought in a million years that I'd be working there almost 14 years now, and after being lovingly released as a full-time pastor. God has definitely used it. But it's not always been fun. Yesterday, as we always do in our Bubba breakfast, we talked about highs and lows. And I said, well, I'm going to wait until mine today, which is right now. It was Friday, a couple days ago on Friday, and it started off with a mom screaming at me because, and cursing and swearing, that she's not getting the services she needs. And she wants people to call her immediately after she calls them because she... her kid is the most important of all the kids that we meet. So start of the day with that. That was always fun. And then I had a family, a mom, a single mom, who has a lot of health issues, can hardly get out of bed, and has depression as well as physical issues, and really needed a food box. So I got her the food box, went over there, and she's in bed with the door closed. And the teenage boy, who was up 24 hours playing Fortnite, and he was a mess, and he was taking out his mom because he hadn't had sleep for 24 hours. And the room had garbage piled up, I'm not kidding, about this high everywhere. I didn't even walk in the room. I said, here's your food box. And the mom was real grateful, very grateful. And by the way, Kathy, they love the macaroni in the orange package. This kid went nuts about that. So it went from there, and then I got a phone call. And a girl who had run away from home, very beautiful, but her beauty's become a curse because the guys are chasing after her. She ran away, and she was raped by three men, and it was near her apartment complex. They know where she lived. They threatened to kill her and her family if they did anything to talk about it. And it was pretty disturbing, to say the least. And then after she was raped, a little bit later, she went, and there was a second-story apartment she lives on, and she went on the roof and attempted suicide with a knife to her throat on the rooftop. Well, that was pretty stressful, as you can tell, obviously. And I prayed like crazy. And we had a hospital staffing where they mixed up the time. The staff had it all, the hospital staff told us three different times. None of them were right. So I find out the last minute, oh, it's 1:45. I said, well, it's like 1:42, and I'm stuck behind a train. With all the times we'd be stuck by a train. So I get to the hospital staffing, and I'm late, and all the doctors are just mad at me because I'm late at the meeting. And we talked about what we can do for this girl. And she didn't want to talk to us. She hasn't wanted to talk to us for about the last 3 weeks. So this one hospital staffer said, well, you may want to try to talk to her. I said, well, she hasn't wanted to talk for a while. And then the Holy Spirit showed up. Hallelujah. He came all over me. And it's coming back, and my hair was on my arms. I felt this incredible love for this girl. Went to her, and I've only done this two times in 14 years. I had tears in my eyes. I says, I'm so sorry this happened to you. On behalf of every male out there, I am so sorry you did this. This happened to you. Not you did this, but this happened to you. And I says, God loves you, and there are people who care about you in the right way and love you in the right way. And she opened up. And she had written a one-page confession. So she was going to get baptized about 6 months ago and fell away from the Lord just about a week before her baptism. So we were talking, and she says, I've learned my lesson. My parents tried, and we tried to warn her, but we started talking about the Lord and about love and about God's presence, and it was pretty amazing. And It was just where she felt the love. And then she started opening her heart up, and she said, my birthday is next week. I don't want to spend my birthday in the hospital. And I said, well, I know you want to come back home. Now she appreciates her family very much. And it took all that, though, all that it took for her to appreciate her family. And the Satan is so alive and so working so much that the attacks on the family I see almost every day. We see it in the jails. And so we need a lot of prayer. So having said all that, the hymn, both songs today, the first and the third, really did speak that this world reminds us who we are. We're like a flower fading. And we don't have tomorrow guaranteed to any of us. But there is hope in the first song that we can stand our ground in the middle of all this brokenness around us. And having said that, the Bible has some words. They're not fluff. We talked last week about marriage. Awesome message by Pastor Robin. About a word we don't like to hear. What's that word? Guess what you're going to hear today. What is that word? And we're not going to like it. Kids aren't going to like it. Adults may not like it. Employees may not like it. But here we go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Who? Obey them in the... what? Oh, in the Lord. So what if the parent tells you to do something wrong against God's word? Do you obey them then? No. In the Lord. What if they're messed up parents, but they're telling you the right thing, but they're messed up? Should you disobey them just because they're a bad model? Obey them in the Lord. It's all about God. God set up the family. Not some sociologist. Not some psychologist. God created families. But notice what happened. It didn't take too long in the garden after sin entered the garden and entered mankind before we had sibling rivalry to the max. Cain killing Abel, right? So we had that going on right off the start. But God was already providing an answer and a Savior in Jesus Christ. And He had a promise that there would become one who would save this messy world, save broken families, right? But it starts off, children, not if you feel like it, not a suggestion, obey your parents, for this is right. Children are called to obey their parents. Got that, kids? It's not a suggestion. Our world needs to hear this. Children need to respect authority in the home, in the school, at work, wherever we go. We're all called to do that. So we're called to obey your parents in the Lord. Again, submission. Children are called to submit to their parents as to the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. All right, there's a promise there connected. One of the few commands that has a promise connected to it, that if we do this, generally, not every single child, but generally, children will live a long life if they obey their parents. There's a sense of order and peace and promise to this commandment as we honor our father and mother, no matter what their age, that it may go well with you and you may live, enjoy a long life on the earth. So there is a promise there. And I was going to read from my phone, but it's hard with my phone to do that. And I think I want to send out to Don. I want to send it out to you. If you can send it out to the whole congregation. There's a prayer guide for parents and for schools, actually for kids, with schools starting up either tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. It's so crazy this week. All the different school districts start a different day. I don't know if they did that on purpose or what. But anyway, with all that's going on, our schools are in trouble. And I know, I feel for all of you, and Cindy, you can vouch for this, all the stuff that goes on in the classroom is hard to get the job done. And because there's so much bullying and mental health issues and broken families and kids without enough to eat, they can't, ADHD, on and on, it's just so difficult that they need our prayers. And so what the good thing is that churches are prayer-walking schools. And there's one area of Phoenix that they did this, and they noticed that after a period of time, the test scores went up 40%. And so they're seeing that God is doing some amazing things. And when it's been the darkest in the history of the United States or Europe, and there's been a revival right after a time of darkness of desperation, especially among families where things were broken and messed up, and there would be a group of people, most of the time it was lay people, coming together and praying for revival and calling out for revival and then seeing revival, seeing hearts change. The Bible talks about the fact that Malachi, that when the gospel comes, when the Messiah comes, when revival comes, that God will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And sometimes we dads can get so busy, we forget about our kids. God will do it. He'll turn, and He'll turn our heads, turn our attention to our children, and the hearts of the children back to their fathers and their parents. And that's what we pray for. So there is a lot to say, and there's so much I could say that I don't want to turn this into a parenting seminar. But it's difficult being a parent. Has anybody noticed that? It's very difficult. And there's a book, a great book, on parenting adolescents by Kevin Huggins, by NAV Press. I'm not sure if it's still in print, but it talks about how God can be there. And by the way, I wanted to give you the rest of the story after talking to this young lady. We had a great talk, and then I went to the parents, and we talked to them, and then mom couldn't come to the staffing of the hospital to see her daughter because they'd been evicted that day. So I had to rush and try to find a handbook on tenants' rights, get that, go back to the mom, give her this, and then she said, well, they've given 30 days, but it might be just as well they moved because the rape lived, and they were throwing rocks at the window the next night just to remind them that they're around, and they know they're there. So anyway, that was going on. I felt a sense of peace with the mom. I gave the mom a book on emotional healing from the Holy Spirit because she's a Christian, and that went well. And then I go, oh, yeah, I got to go to jail now for my jail service. I go, that's not going to work. I don't know how that's going to work. Well, the Holy Spirit showed up again. He says, just turn it all over. He reminded me of a story of a pastor who was supposed to be at a pastor's conference and was freaking out because his flight was going to be delayed, which meant he was going to miss the conference. And God worked it all out and told him, quit worrying. Quit freaking out about it. I'll take care of it. God took care of it. He got to the conference just in time. So I said, well, God, maybe you can help me out with jail because I haven't been there for a couple weeks because of work. Well, I got there. The guards never come up and say, how are you doing? Can I check you in? It never happens. I had to wait for them. They checked me in. I went in, went up there, had a great service. And at the end of the service, God still was in control because the guard came and he took the inmates out just as I was going to call him. I said, that's interesting. Somebody's running the show here and it isn't me. So that happened. And then as I'm leaving, and I've been trapped in the elevator many times, before I get to the elevator, it opens up. And then another door opens up, and another door opens up. I go to the elevator, the door opens up, go downstairs, it opens up. As soon as it comes down, I'm like, wow, this is great. So it all worked out. I had a great service there Friday. It was unbelievable. Point of all this is, whether we're talking about parenting or being a jail pastor or whatever, let God lead. Because He can do what no human being can do. And a rig came into that. And the good news after all this is that God will redeem this girl. I believe she will get baptized as she once wanted to, and God will turn her around. I've seen some miracles of homes and families. So here's the hope. No matter what you're going through as a parent, and you feel sometimes awful about it, feel like a failure, and it's so difficult, God is on the throne, and He will be with you. And He has special promises for blessings, especially to single parents and single moms. He promises to provide for the fatherless. So there are promises, and there is an anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we pray for that, that God will lead us to heal our families. And this one author about this book talks about this and says, the ultimate result of personal reflection in the light of Scripture is one question of apparent confidence in his own ability. It makes one question, rather, a parent's ability and own confidence. Ultimately, a parent will not allow this to happen unless there is someone else with a capital S in whom he can place his confidence. God has designed parenting, especially parenting of teenagers, and they get an amen of that, or no, I won't say it, so that it is impossible to do it effectively apart from shifting one's source of confidence from himself to Christ. So what happens is all the challenges of teenagers forces us as parents to trust in God. Right? He says something else, and this is in light of Ephesians. Ephesians talks about being filled with the Spirit. And after he says that in Ephesians 5, remember we covered that a few weeks ago, all the other connecting words with like five things he talks about. And one of them was about submitting us in marriage as a result of being filled with the Spirit. Another is all these commands about family. So it's connected to the Holy Spirit. And he says this. He talks about she because he's talking about a mom. The more she moves toward these goals of self-sacrifice and love rather than with goals of self-protection and fulfillment, the more she discovers flaws within her own self that makes her inadequate to love very well. As a result, her focus shifts completely. Rather than devoting her energies to trying to change her kid and the conflict with the kid, he concentrates on changing her own character. Although her awareness and concern over her kid's character and conduct continue to grow, he or she understands that apart from the Spirit of God doing the work in her own heart, she can have no constructive influence in their lives. And what happens, and what happened to me, is that all the difficulties I went through with my kids forced me to look at myself. And I get it all the time. We get it all the Touchstone, saying, throw this book at my kid, fix my kid. It don't work that way. Because guess what? If we are part of the problem, all of us are. We're broken. But the good news is that Jesus Christ comes in and he washes us clean of all of our sins and all our guilt. And there's a lot of guilt with the parent, right? You can be at the best intention in the world, right? And make mistakes. And it breaks our hearts. Not just moms, but as dads. Right? When we see our kids and grandkids go through these things and we want to just shake them and point them in the right way, and you can't do it. But there is one who can turn them and change them. And who is that? Jesus. He is the one. So let's go back to that one slide, the first slide. Let's go back. There we go. As a result of sin, not psychological maladjustments, because as a result of sin, is there anyone here not broken? Mama, papa, daughter, son, we're all broken. So guess what? There's one place that broken people go. It's Amazing Grace. It's under the blood of Jesus, under the cross. I don't care how much we fail as parents, how we failed as husbands, how we failed as people, as Christians, there is forgiveness. There is amazing grace. There is amazing love. And that has to be emphasized here. It's the love of God. It's the grace of God. Yes, we need the law. Yes, we need to realize that we've messed up. But God is the only one. Jesus, is our Savior, is the only one that can change us and can make what we can't be on our own. He's the answer. So what does Jesus do? He brings the glue, and he glues it all back together. And he restores families here and in heaven, right? Okay, let's move forward. Thank you. All right, next. Children are great imitators, so give them something great to imitate. Amen? I have so many parents that just yell and scream at their kids and only see the negative. If you would just do this, then I would love you. If you just do that, then God would love you. Terrible things to say. Yelling and screaming. I've got one mom who says, well, Perry, if you tell me not to scream and yell, I lose my authority. And she screams at him. She belittles her teenage boy. He says, you're nothing but a piece of you-know-what, and blah, 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 blah. And we say, stop it. And we can't get her to stop screaming and cussing at her kids. I go, what is the matter? So she needs to learn how to model. And what happens, we see there's so much woundedness inside of us. We try to protect that. And guess what kids do? They pick at that scab. Not intentionally, but they push our buttons. And God says, you've got some buttons you need to work on. And guess what? These kiddos are just pushing the buttons that you need to work on anyway. And it's not fun. But the Bible talks about training them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We'll talk about the little. Let's go to the next slide. Churches that have a large congregation and their pastors will have a crack research team that goes out and looks for different articles and so forth, and they may have four or five people do research. Well, I've got one. Her name is Cindy. Thank you, Cindy. She found this poem, and first of all, the saying, the sign of great parenting is not the child's behavior, the sign of truly great parenting is the parent's behavior. Amen to that, right? I think I'm going to take that to work tomorrow. And let's go to the next slide. Where's the poem at, by the way? There should be a poem. Okay, yeah, look in your outline, in your... There we go, okay. There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. Yes, there are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy that's threatening the dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fellow, Phil's idol. You're the big, I can't read without my glasses. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds all that you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's grown up just like you. Oh, it sometimes makes me shudder when I hear my boy repeat some careless phrase I've uttered in the language of the street. And it sets my heart to grieving when some little fault I see, I know beyond all doubting that he picked it up from me. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be like you. Amen to that? So, God has a lot to say about this, about teaching our kids, about parenting, and about the kids obeying. We talked about the command with a promise. And notice verse 4, fathers and mothers too, do not exasperate your children. And basically it means don't harden their hearts. Don't be on them so much that they lose hope and they get discouraged. Where you harden their hearts. If you never do anything right, you'd always, some kids we talk about, there it is, right? Don't provoke them to anger, but bring them up. A lot of us, anger and discipline out of anger. We punish out of anger. Corporal punishment, okay, the touchstone would never say it's okay. But it's not the first resort, and it should not be done out of anger. Eventually, sometimes it has to happen. But it's not the only way of parenting, of discipline. So we don't parent out of anger. We don't provoke them to anger where they just say, well, then why even bother? I can't do anything right. And I hear that all the time and have to talk to kids, whether it be preschool or teenagers, that they say, why bother? So we start every meeting at Touchstone with, what are the strengths? And it's scary to hear how many parents say, I can't think of one blankety-blank thing good about this kid right in front of the kid. I'm venting here. It is so demonic where Satan has so much hatred and anger in parents' hearts. And that's where the revival needs to start, in the parents' heart. Revival of these parents. It's really sad. But the good news is that God gives us a promise and he gives us a strength. So fathers, don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the... Actually, it's a nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurturing. The word pediatrics come from this word in the Greek, paidos, which means training. The nurture. That we are called to nurture our kids in the faith. Not say, here's the Bible, read it. No, it's maybe using the Bible we use here. It looks like a comic book, right? The Action Bible. And they love it. The kids love it. And if they see you loving God's Word, they just might start loving God's Word as well. But they say, hey, it's time, we got to go to church. Let's go. That's not going to work. But if they say, we're going to church. And isn't it neat how many kids in our church love coming here? It's so cool. It really, really is. So we're called to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says, when we rise up, when we're walking, when we're going here, we're going there, always bringing the Word and teaching the Word as we go through life, not saying, okay, now we sit down, we're going to talk about God. How does that work with teenagers having a sit-down conversation about anything important, right? But as we're driving, as we're walking, as we're going through life, there are teaching moments, teaching opportunities that we can do that, and we can teach them and share them and teach our children well about the Lord. Not just how to be successful in this life, but ultimately in eternity, right? Some parents are all worried about getting the best for their kids, and they neglect the most important part, right? Which is their spiritual welfare. Do they know Jesus? Do they know Him in their heart? And if they fall away, the promise is that they'll come back, and we keep praying for them. So we're called to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and He will help us. So, having said all that, as we build a home, it's a lot of work. Ricky, that was a lot of work you guys went through, right? Rebuilding your house. And hopefully it'll be worth it. You'll really enjoy the home and get a lot of joy and satisfaction and many blessings. And may the Lord bless your home with His presence. Amen. And all our homes. But it's not just Ricky and Veronica going through this. Hopefully and prayerfully, we're all doing that in our, not our houses, but in our homes. There needs a lot. We need to be remodeling and rebuilding our homes, because guess what? We have the spiritual termites of sin that are eating away at the foundation. We've got the storms, the haboobs of all the stuff of this world that would love to come and come crashing into our homes. And the storms of life hit us all. And we have to be built on the rock. And as we're built on the rock, when the storms do come, what happens to the family? It stays. I will stand my ground. We will, Joshua, what did he say? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All the rest of you can literally go to hell. We're going to heaven. And Noah and his family. How many were around that believed in God? Just Noah and his family. That was it. Abraham and Lot. That was it in Gomorrah. Nobody else. So it hasn't gone that bad. So we have others that we've gone in our family here. But you're not alone as a parent. That you have hope and help and support from God and from each other. That we can share and we can build each other up, right? Now, it moves in relationships of submission from parents submitting, and, or from kids submitting, and parents submitting to God as a parent, now to the workplace. It's actually talking about slavery. And some people go, well, how come Paul didn't say to condemn slavery? He let the influence of the gospel change society to the point where later on Christians like Wilberforce and others came in and eradicated slavery and got rid of it. But in the current system they had, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as to Christ. We can relate that to the workplace. So now let's go from the home to our work. How are we supposed, as Christians, supposed to relate to our bosses? Oh boy, this is not fun. We submit to them, right? Are they always right? We talked about that yesterday. But as unto the Lord, we are called to have an attitude of humility and submission to those in authority. And believe you me, what's going on in my job now, it's hard to do. But as instead of complaining and yelling and screaming and blah, 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 try as much as we can to make a positive difference. What are we doing to try to change the workplace? Because another revival is happening is that many Christians, because people don't go to church anymore, a lot of them, is that they're having little Bible studies or groups in the workplace before or after work, and they're letting their light shine and their salt be evident, be a salt and a light at the workplace. And it's happening all over. It's really, really cool. So we are called then as employees to obey our earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity heart, just as we would obey Christ. Oh boy. Pastor, are you saying I have to obey my boss as though he were Jesus? Because believe you me, he's not Jesus. Yes, as unto the Lord. If he tells us to do things that are unethical, wrong, no. But we are, and I'm preaching to myself here, we are called to submit to them. Oh boy. But that's part of, as a life of a Christian, is it always easy? Is it what I can get out of life as a Christian? It's not, is it? This is hard stuff. We are called to submit to the Lord and submit to others. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you. Oh, see what I did? You notice this, what I did? That's not what why we do it. But as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly, as it were, serving the Lord, not people. So we go to work, and remember that one song, Take This Job and Shove It? Remember that? I did a sermon on Labor Day years ago, Take This Job and Love It. That whatever we're doing to try to find something positive, that God's got me here, and I'm preaching to myself, God has me here for a reason and a purpose, like Friday, and try to find those moments that God can use us and use me and all of us in the work situations that God has put us in. Is the only holy vocation being a pastor? No, every calling. Luther was real strong in that. Every calling that we are in, as we honor Christ, is a holy calling. You are called to where you are for now, unless you want to change. But there's a calling, there's a commitment, there's a vocation. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And you may feel like a slave at work, right? But even if that's the situation, God can use you. God can use us wherever we are. Right? And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, let this gospel, let the Holy Spirit, so change the way you are that whether you're in the home, in the marriage, or at work, your light changes everything around them. That you're more like a thermostat than a thermometer. A thermometer just measures the temperature. A thermostat changes the temperature. So are you changing the temperature? You're working a difference. If you're not there, is there a void because Christ is using you in that perfect position? It's made perfect in Christ, not in the circumstances, right? Amen. So we're called to do that. And it says, then masters, and now for employers, treat your slaves or employees in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. Have you ever noticed sometimes at work whether they play favorites? How does that work? How does that make you feel? Yeah, were they always like somebody else is the one that gets all the attention and everything else? But who's the unseen host who's there? Who's the unseen person that sees it all and is Lord of all, both of that person and you? So again, we submit to the Lord, right? And how does it work when we do it God's way? Pastor Rick always says this, says we try to do it our way, it don't work, does it? So why don't we just try submitting in our homes, in our marriages, in our jobs, in our parenting, and just give it a try. Turn it all over to Him. Turn it all over. Surrender everything to Him and just see how. Just try it. You just might like it. God's way, think about what it was like in the garden of paradise. Perfect. And that God wants to restore paradise, but it's only through Jesus Christ. It's only through the Holy Spirit. And all this is a condition, a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit, being of the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Is there a need of love in our world today? That teenage girl, she needed to know that someone loved her for who she is and inside her, not what she looks like. Love. Joy. Is there a need for joy in our world today? Kathy can still smile in the middle of all that she's going through. Peace. Kathy can still have peace in the middle of all she's going through. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Can we do that on our own? I can't. We need God. So this Friday reminded me that I need God every moment when I'm working, wherever I am. Because it's so overwhelming, right? But He will never leave us nor forsake us. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before You. We humble ourselves before You. Forgive us for our sins as children, past, present, future. Forgive us for our failures as parents, past, present, and future. Forgive us for our sins and failures as spouses, past, present, and future. Forgive us for our sins and failures of employees or employers, past, present, or future. And we humbly come to the cross, all of us, Lord, as broken people. And we remember Your grace, that You saved us by this grace. And it's only by Your grace that we can stand, or we can stand in You. So we are under the cross, Lord Jesus. And we ask, God, be merciful to us as sinners. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. So we may walk in Your ways, both at home and at work. We may shine like lights in the darkness, in the middle of all the darkness and all the junk in our world, that we can shine with Your light, not ours. When we become discouraged, Lord, lift us up. Help us to stand our ground in our families and our homes, Lord, that we will serve You no matter what. We ask for Your hand of blessing upon our homes. There are promises, Lord, to those that don't have enough, that as they look to You, You will be with them, and that You will multiply the fragments of just a little bit of bread, that You will multiply the bread and the fish, Lord, and You will provide. So we ask for provision for those that are struggling, especially for single parents. And Lord, we pray for our schools as they start whatever day this week, and we ask, Lord, that You watch over our kids as they go to school. We come against that spirit of bullying, Lord. We come against all the demonic oppression at school. And we ask to be with the teachers and administrators. And we ask for the children to be a revival in the schools. That, Lord, the prayer is brought back. We pray for that in the schools. That Your name is brought back into the schools. That textbooks will be allowed to have a teaching that is according to Your values. and not the messed up values of this world. And we pray this all in our Savior's name, who gives us the hope, who fills us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for filling me with your Spirit Friday when I needed it the most, and coming in a most powerful way with your love. And I ask that you do the same for all of us here. Come, Holy Spirit. We're empty, we leak, we fail, but we get back up again because you forgive us and you give us a new hope and new power every day. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Jesus. Amen.